Well, good evening, everybody. Dennis, that is Dennis from Osnabrück. It's very confusing. Looking in one place, it says that I'm not streaming. I should be streaming. And Ilya tells me that I am streaming. So I really hope that what she says is true, that that people can hear me, because I'm clicking away like mad here. I am talking, and if nothing else happens, at least I'm being recorded on Audacity. But I am not really Food Bridges. Somebody else is really Food Bridges. I'm here to make the coffee and perhaps the sandwiches, though even that's a bit difficult, because since this is a food program, I'm not sure that sandwiches would be acceptable. I wonder if anybody is around except me. I wonder how I know that. It's a lovely combination of the written and the spoken word, because I'm relying at the moment on Ilya to say, "Oh, shut up. Just talk," she says. "Just talk. People can hear you." I hope, Ilya, if people can't hear me, that you are going to send me a message, a written message, saying that they've had enough. I think you should call people. I think if I added Skype to this, I would collapse both myself and my PC, probably. Good that Dennis O just called, the other Dennis. Yes, call some people, and I'm sure I should be able to hear something, but I don't know where. All I can hear is myself. Never mind. I quite often walk around talking to myself, but I don't like admitting it normally. Ilya, write to me. Speak to me. I haven't even got the precise menu, I can say, for this evening. I know we're supposed to talk about food in our families, and what role food plays, and what are our favourite dishes, and that sort of thing. Well, I know what my favourite food is. Have you seen the photographs for this webcast? I mean, as soon as I saw those, I thought, you're in the wrong programme, matey. I'm also in the webcast chat room. Oh, no, that was a question. Am I in the webcast chat room? I think the answer is, Ilya, yes. I'm everywhere. I'll go there soon, if you like. Perhaps the other Dennis is feeling lonely. But back to food. I'm trying to be relevant. My favourite food, as I started to say, is curry. Quite definitely curry. And it is, as a matter of fact, a few years ago, the BBC did a survey and revealed that the most popular foods in England, especially when people went out to eat, were one, Indian food, second, Chinese. And this stereotype of the English eating only fish and chips, I'm afraid, is over. And anyway, most fish and chip shops these days are either run by Greeks or Chinese. All I mean to say by that is that it's no longer a very English type of food. One more question. What are the settings under my audio? Well, I will look at that, my dear. Click. Just to make everything very complicated. Oh, that made a funny noise. To make everything very complicated, my mouse, I think, has decided to die. It's dying slowly, and it demonstrates this by refusing to go where I want it to go. The settings, well, I wonder what you mean. I'm recording, but that isn't perhaps what you want to know. I think you must write to me again. You can even talk to me if you can, that would be lovely. Now let me try and get rid of Audacity. Somebody should be here taking photographs. I'm getting a call. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, India.
Hi.
Can people still hear me, or only you?
Dennis, yes, I can hear you fine.
Oh, good, good.
Me too. Hold on, I'll turn over that sound at the Webcast Academy.
Yes. Hello. Who is that? It should be...
Who is which one?
Well, I know you, Ilya, and anyway, since you are on Skype, there is a lovely little picture of you that comes up. But the gentleman that spoke had no little picture flying up on my screen to help me. Speak, sir. Identify yourself. Or are you eating? Oh, what's happened? Have I offended him?
Dennis, is that... Do you mean Dennis Oliver? Okay, this is difficult. There are two Dennises.
Yeah.
One has an American accent, the other one has a British accent.
If it will help, you can call me Dinos, which means Dennis from Osnabrück. Dinos, if that helps.
Okay.
Well, you can call me Phoenix.
Phoenix, okay,
Phoenix,
we'll have Dinos,
yes, of course.
And Phoenix.
Phoenix from Arizona, yeah, lovely. Dinos and Phoenix.
Sounds great.
That sounds great to me.
Okay.
So.
And Dinos, no, Phoenix and I are in, oh gosh, the chat room of the Webcast Academy.
Yeah.
So, shall we stay there?
Yes, why
I'll
not?
I'll join you.
It sounds a safe place to be.
Okay, I have not started recording yet. We were trying to get Christina recording.
Yeah.
I think maybe we'll have to try another time. Okay,
I can't
I am
speak
now.
For the recording, but I'm recording and blue lines are waving up and down in Audacity, so something is happening. And it looks I've come to know what speech looks like, and it looks okay. The volume looks okay, and we should have something as long as my PC lasts the evening.
And your mouse?
My mouse, the less I use it, the better, because it just doesn't react, you know. It's I don't know, it's like a sleepy class or something like that. But it's ironical, I think, how things, you know, like mice, they go wrong, don't they? Half an hour before a webcast, or your printer stops working just before you have to hand in your thesis.
Or Skype chooses that day to stop.
Exactly. Stop altogether, which happened recently.
Yes.
Didn't it? Yeah. No, they're uncanny. They're uncanny. But I wouldn't be surprised if something isn't programmed so that it can pick up from all sorts of bits of information which are important day stealing, and then it zaps something. So, nice crazy theory. Anyway, did you know, talking of printers, I've just mentioned printers, I read somewhere, I can't remember where, that HP, Hewlett-Packard, that their printers, and I've got one, they send back, Hewlett-Packard printers send back more information to their makers than almost any other bit of computers or accessories that we have. They're colossal spies, it seems. And that's got absolutely nothing to do with food. Well, this is supposed to be a food program, isn't it? So, Ilya, I will give away some secrets, because if you blush, nobody will see you. I know that I know you cooked something for your family earlier. What did you cook them? You can always make it up.
What?
Sorry, I said, what did you cook your family today to eat? And if that embarrasses you, you can always make it up. We won't know.
No, that's fine. For lunch, it was just my little one, and I threw in some pasta in the water,
mm-hmm.
and cooked it, took it out, put some oil in a pan.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put some garlic in the hot oil, added the pasta, broke an egg, mixed it up with the whole thing, cut up some ham and put it in, salt and peppered it, and I thought that was really good, personally. My son didn't.
Oh dear. Well, that leads me on to another obvious question. You've got three sons, haven't you?
Yes.
So I'm telling the world. So your three sons, what are their favourite foods, one by one? I mean, son by son.
The oldest one, I don't really know what he likes. It's a bit difficult. Mm. He doesn't really eat with us very often. The middle one, he loves meat and eating in general. He'll eat just about everything. Mm-hmm. He loves lasagna, mm-hmm, and pizza. And the littlest one, he likes something called kukali pashtetli. And I'll tell you what that is in a minute, but you're going to have to talk together because I'm going to try to get Erica, mm-hmm, into the chat room, into the Skype with us.
Okay, lovely. Okay. So I'm with Phoenix, is that right?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, we've spoken before, we've written lots.
We have. Yes, we have indeed.
Since we're supposed to be talking about food, and that seems quite an interesting question anyway, what's your favorite, or one of your favorite foods, you personally?
Oh, I like lots and lots of different things. I like Slavic foods a lot, especially Russian, Ukrainian, Belarusian, Carpathian Ukrainian, those kinds of foods, kind of Russian peasant food.
Yeah. Is there a particular reason for that, or is it just chance?
Chris?
Hello?
Yeah, I think it is Chris. Sounds like her. Is there a particular what? Dennis?
Sorry, is there a particular reason for your favorite foods coming from that part of the world?
Yes. I spent a large portion of my life involved with a kind of immigrant non-majority population. Mm-hmm. Some people who came to the U.S. from the Carpathian Mountains. They called themselves Rusyns or Rusnaks or a lot of other names. Mm-hmm. Basically, they were Carpatho-Ukrainian or Carpatho-Russian, mm-hmm, a speaking group of people who lived in Western Ukraine, Slovakia, parts of modern-day Poland, yeah, and parts of modern-day Romania, and so on.
Mm-hmm. And is there food...
When I was involved in this group,
yeah,
there were many of the first generation still there.
Uh-huh.
And their kids were fully American. They were quite involved in the U.S. culture, mm-hmm, but they weren't very interested in the old country culture. Mm-hmm. So... I was, and I got lucky. Instead of having two grandmothers, as most people do, mm-hmm, I had maybe 10.
Wow.
And eight or so of them were from the old country, and one thing we had in common was an interest in food. So, mm-hmm, I learned to make a lot of their foods, and of course, any part of their social gatherings had to do with food, mm-hmm, or many of their social gatherings had to do with food.
Yeah.
So that's why. Long answer to a short question.
No, very interesting. I can sort of feel all of those peoples from a quite different part of the world. I in Osnabrück, at the moment where I live, there are so many people from former Russia, former Soviet Union, the Ukraine, and so on and so forth. They've come here for political reasons, for economical reasons, but... there are two things one notices. They make themselves noticeable in at least two pleasant ways. One is all sorts of new restaurants opening up, and secondly, the music, actually street music. the standard of the playing in street music in Osnabrück and towns like it in Germany is phenomenal, because we have people, rather sadly, who must have been in small orchestras and theatres scattered around in places in the ex-Soviet Union, and now they come here with these tremendous skills, and the only way they can earn a bit of money is by singing on the streets. But the food is, it's the restaurants. They open up restaurants for themselves, but of course other people are allowed to go in. Have we got anybody else with us now?
That reminds me.
Yeah, do. Carry on.
Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, Eddie Kinga is there.
Hi, can you? I think you cannot hear me. Can you?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Very clear.
Good. Clear? Is it clear? Good.
Yeah.
I was quiet here because I didn't know if you could hear me or not.
Very well. And gets better all the time. It sounded at first as if you were standing behind Dennis, but now we can hear you as if you're in the foreground.
Great, great.
You know, you sound quite a bit like Carlinha.
Mm-hmm. What, Dennis?
You sound a lot like Carlinha.
Oh, that's probably because of our Brazilian accent.
No, it's your timbre, tone of voice, the enthusiasm I hear when you speak.
Wow. If you sounds very good. You can. I think if you are staying.
Carlinha won't be here, but I think she will not be here today.
Yeah.
What's that?
Carla did say that she might come, but might not. I think that was the last message I read.
Right.
Yes, she's very busy with about 40 participants that she has in her first online course.
Mensch.
Wow. Oh.
Good heavens.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, in fact, it's her first professional online course, because the students register at our school. Mm-hmm. And she's in Key West, and she's working for our school in Brazil.
Well, I've just realized we've met, haven't we? We met on the internet. We met at your school.
Yes.
Isn't that right? Yes, with the...
Right.
Yes, you wrote a lot on my blog. It's strange, these... We meet in different places, I mean, all of us, and in different modes, and sometimes it's often it's very difficult mm-hmm. to put them all together, you know, voices with that's the person who wrote so and so in that blog on, and that's the person who posted this message or said this and that. It's very difficult, I find, to bring all of these things together, and now we've got to bring what people like eating. We've got to bring that into the picture. So what are your favorite foods or food?
In Brazil? Well, our favorite food is definitely barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we always get together on the weekends and we go to friends' house and relatives' house to make barbecues. I think that's because of the weather here that is always favorable, right? It's always sunny, it's always...
Hello? Have we lost you?
The swimmers, there are a lot of swimming pools in Brasilia. Uh-huh. I think it's the city where I live in Brazil is the city with the most swimming pools in uh-huh. Brazil. There are swimming pools in almost every house, and people love to get around the swimming pool and cook barbecue during Saturdays and Sundays.
Hmm. I find that very interesting, because barbecues in Germany are rather different. People are very fond of barbecues, but they have them on their balconies, partly because there is a sort of cover over the balcony, which is necessary for when it starts raining. And the smell is the other thing, because if you are not having a barbecue but all the neighbours are, you sometimes think, well, we better have one too so that we don't notice it. Interesting, so we've got...
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Carry on.
I'm going to send the link in the chat room. where you can see some pictures of a barbecue that I had in my house. Should I paste it in the chat room or through Skype?
Ilya, I would...
Maybe through Skype, because yes. Christina and Denos aren't in the chat room. Okay, let me see. Fine. Okay. Okay, yeah, Carla just said hello. Yeah, she said hello to me in Skype.
Who was that who said hello to you?
Carla.
Carla,
yes.
Yeah, amazing.
Hi, Carla. Hi, Carla.
Wait. I haven't called her in yet. Yeah, she's not in.
She's coming.
Let's see, okay.
Here she comes.
Yeah, here she is.
Oh, great.
Christina, can you say something so we can see if we can hear you?
Oh. Can you hear me?
Yes!
Oh, yeah. okay, I can stream, but I can't speak. Okay, that's better than nothing.
Okay, that's something.
You can't speak? What are you doing now?
Pardon?
You said I can stream, but I can't speak. Or did I miss here?
No, I said I can speak, but I can't stream.
Ah, yeah, fair enough. Wow, I'm looking at some marvelous pictures called Food and Games. A Springdo message for you. This is on Skype. Yes, marvelous weather. Very few people have swimming pools here, and if they do, here being Germany, if they do, they're very rich and they have them in the cellar so that they can heat them. I know it's just a different way of life because of the.
You're with Carla.
Yeah, it's great. Great pictures, lovely.
Oh, I love the soccer field. Oh my gosh.
Oh, isn't it great? This was not this February. It was last year, in fact. But I had this page ready, so I decided to send to you. And you can see that we are eating barbecue in sticks.
Yeah.
Usually when we have kids in the barbecue, we have the barbecue, the meat or chicken on the sticks. So it's easier for the children to grab with their hands and eat with their hands. Especially when there are lots of kids in the house.
It saves on the washing up too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Great. Wonderful pictures.
I was going to tell you what kugeli pastetli is.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you promised.
So, I'm going to see if I can find something that actually shows what it is. Mm-hmm. It's you have this kind of butter, well, croissant-like dough, and it's made as a kind of cup. And in it, you have this kind of, you can do it with little balls of meat, kind of like, like bratwurst, brat. Mm-hmm. Can you help me there, Denos?
Yes, the brat. Sausage, you mean, yes.
The white stuff.
Ah, that's a
white anyway, sausage. You get these little balls, and you cook them with onions and cream, and you put herbs in it, and so you have this kind of sauce with the balls in it, and you put them in these cups. These delightful cups, and eat them like that. And usually you either eat rice or French fries with them, and people here like eating frozen peas, yuck, with them. I don't do that.
Yes. Don't you like peas at all, or is it just frozen peas you don't like?
I'm partial on peas, and not at all for frozen peas.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, it can't be for the same reason, because I've seen photographs of you, but I love tinned peas, but I know that I shouldn't eat them because they've got too much sugar in them. So I have frozen peas, which always taste a bit funny, but that's the, one of the basic things about food, isn't it? You you like certain foods, whether they're good for you or bad for you, or whether you do calorie counts with them or not. There's something deep about food, not only what you eat, I think, but when you eat, and perhaps even how much you eat. Perhaps we don't want to get into that serious side of food, but it is there.
I think that would be a really good topic for another session.
Yeah, okay, we'll... ladies first.
Anyway, this is one of the favorite foods of kids in Switzerland, and it's one of mine too.
I think with we haven't got any children at home anymore, but I still have a lot to do with students who are, you know, 20 to 30 years old. And here in Germany, their favorite food, without doubt, is pizza. I often try to understand why. I think it's partly because it's uncomplicated. I mean, they don't make it, they buy it. But, you know, there's no fuss about it. You can find... one of these days I'm going to count how many pizzerias there are in this town of Osnabrück, because it's gigantic, a gigantic number. And young people especially love pizza, and they love getting it delivered. And then this makes you wonder why, you know, it doesn't taste that nice, but they really love it. Is pizza loved by young people in any other countries apart from Germany?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, very popular here. I have a pizza story that I can tell, but only if we have enough time.
Yeah. Well, we've got...
In Brazil, we go to restaurants, to pizza restaurants, and we pay like $10, and we can eat as much pizza as we can.
Yes.
We just order pizza on the table, on our tables, and then we eat one pizza, we ask for another one, we eat another and another and another, as much as we can. It's really cheap in Brazil.
You get the same thing in America too, but here everyone has their own pizza, and since in America people like sharing their food, it's really quite funny that here everyone has their own pizza and they eat it themselves. And so I have a funny story related to food and family for you. The first time my husband came to visit me in America, well, my mother and I, of course, we always shared our food. We would always make sure we got different things, and then often before even you had taken a bite of your own, you try the other food. And my husband-to-be was shocked. He could not understand that. I mean, people in Switzerland don't do that. And he really had no idea what was going on. And he... For quite a while, he got quite upset when I would grab into his plate to try something, but he has adjusted now, and we share our food, too. In fact, he doesn't even want us to order the same thing, so we can share our food now.
That's really interesting. You know, I'm very interested in these intercultural things that happen with food, with talking, with everyday conversation, and all kinds of things like that. Gestures, facial expressions, I could go on and on and on. This is quite interesting about the attitudes to sharing food.
Yeah.
You know, it's so natural in one culture and so strange in another one.
It's funny. Here it's Carla speaking. Ilya, it's funny because my husband, although we are from the same country, we have totally different cultures at home. You know, like he's from the south of Brazil and I am from Brasilia, in the middle of Brazil. And in the south, they have like a very European tradition there. Like the place that he comes from is a German colony. So with Rodrigo, it was the same thing, Ilya. He got really mad every time I would grab a bite from his plate.
Yeah.
Now he's more used to that, but still he looks at me with that frown on his face every time I get something.
Oh, I know that frown.
Yes, yes. It's like, what are you doing touching my food, you know? And it's funny because my son, my oldest son, Eduardo, is the same. He hates when I grab a piece. And it's just natural. And I noticed my mom does the same thing.
Is it a male-female thing then, perhaps?
Oh, maybe, I don't know, maybe. I don't even know if it's cultural, but at least like female culture and male culture.
All I can say is it's people in Germany don't do it either. They don't share each other's food. The only creatures I've seen around that share their food are birds. But no, I think it would strike, you know, you have to make statements. I don't know if it's scientifically true, but my observations would tell me that it's would be very unusual if people share their food. People in love, in the early months, days, weeks of love, they often do it, but that's a different thing, I think, because you all still do it, although you've been married for some time.
I think there are some cultural overtones, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah.
I was the other day. I went to a Spanish restaurant here in Key West, and we ate tapas. And tapas, the meaning of tapas is really sharing, like small portions with everybody. So we had much fun doing that because then we can have different tastes for each little dish we get. But I think it's also cultural too.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned the gender, because in Portugal, it's getting more common to share food, and especially in the restaurants. If you go, like, imagine you go two couples for a night out, and you go and have dinner outside. Usually, the women share dessert, and we usually ask for two sets of cutlery, of silverware, and it's regular for the waiters to ask if we only ask for one dessert. They ask if we want two sets of silverware,
mm-hmm.
But the men, they don't share their food, and it's very interesting, actually.
Yeah, I think this is very interesting because I mean by that it's new to me and perhaps to lots of other people, that that you've articulated this difference, whoever it's between, but there are two different ways of eating. You think, no, this is mine, hands off, and people who want to share. And that seems to be a rather female trait, or is that another stereotype?
My husband, there is an exception. Well, he does start to share now, like I said. But when I want a dessert, he will not take a dessert, but eat half of mine anyway.
You remind me of my old English teacher. He was 95. He died this year. But he was passionately fond of cake. And if you went out to a restaurant with him, or a cafe rather, as we often did, to have Kaffee und Kuchen, coffee and cake, John would always try to persuade my wife and his wife and anybody else who was in the party to have the same kind of cake, because he didn't want to end up having chosen a piece of cake and then notice that somebody else had got a nicer bit. I see some connection there. So if you share with each other, you avoid that problem.
Yes, definitely.
That's interesting.
Phoenix, you mentioned, for those of you that found us a little bit late, because of the two Dennises, I said I could be Dinos, Dennis in Osnabrück, and the Dennis Oliver said he could be Phoenix, so that's why I'm calling him Phoenix. You mentioned it was an email, that you had a couple of things that you wanted to tell us. Would you still like to?
The two things were a favorite food. I mentioned this food a little bit in the last show, So I'll give some new information about it today. That food is blackberry cobbler.
Mm.
Excuse me just a minute.
Dennis, I love cobblers.
Well, what you know as cobbler and what I know as cobbler may be a little bit different. And that's some of the new information. When I look through almost any cookbook or almost any recipe or image that's posted online, I see something that's in a large dish, fruit on the bottom, and then a crust or little dollops of dough on the top. And mm-hmm. that is a traditional cobbler. You put it in the fruit first, and then you add batter in any of several different ways to the top. But that's not what we always had at home, and it's not what was common in my area. Instead, cobbler to me is sort of like a deep dish pie, but it isn't ever fixed in a round plate as a pie is. It's made in a rectangular, usually baking dish. And it has two crusts. It has a bottom crust, which is rather thick, and then it has a top crust, which is thinner. My mom made these. She was quite a good cook, and everybody liked them really well. My favorite one, as I said, was blackberry cobbler, although she made other kinds of cobbler too, peach, cherry, gooseberry, and then blueberry, many other kinds. But blackberry, I think, was maybe my favorite. And it was made with wild blackberries, not the cultivated type. I lived in a small town, grew up in a town, that was surrounded by farmland and forest. So there were a lot of wild foods that were available, among them blackberries. So we always went to pick blackberries in the late spring, early summer. And then my mom froze a lot of them because we had blackberry cobbler all year long. Her cobbler was quite good. She made more or less a typical pastry dough, but she used lard. And she said you could not get the right kind of dough unless you used lard. I don't much like the thought of using lard, so I've tried various other things. Some more successful, some less successful. But I think I read somewhere just yesterday that there's a new vegetable shortening that doesn't have some of the bad ingredients that I'm trying not to eat, and doesn't have a peculiar chemical taste either. So I think I'm going to try that, or try a mixture of vegetable shortening and either margarine or butter the next time I make a blackberry cobbler. So how do you make it? Well, you make your pastry first. Basically, it's just flour and shortening and a little salt and ice water. Some people put other things in it. You get it to the right consistency. You divide it into a large portion and a smaller portion. The large portion is rolled out thickly, and with it you line the bottom of your baking pan, leaving room for the pastry to extend beyond the edges. Then you put in the fruit, in this case, blackberries. I don't have access to wild ones anymore, so I buy frozen blackberries at the supermarket. You add sugar to taste. Wild blackberries are rather tart, so a little more sugar to those than those you get in the supermarket. So anyway, mix the sugar with the blackberries, and that's all. You can add other things if you like, I suppose, but that's the basic mix. Fill the baking pan, not quite to the top. Then roll out the other portion of pastry dough and cover the fruit and pinch together the edges. You can decorate them if you like. It's also a good idea to make a few slits in the top of the dough so that steam and can get out. And when you're ready to bake it, by the way, you should put the baking dish on a cookie sheet or on aluminum foil or something, because even when you cut the slits so that the steam and therefore excess juice will have a way to get out, it sometimes overflows a little bit. So that's how you make it. And I particularly liked the way my mom made it. Was more fond of the pastry dough or the blackberry cobbler than the actual blackberries, though I liked them too, because the bottom crust was soft and it had absorbed a lot of that wonderful blackberry flavor. So there you have it, in my Chatty Cathy fashion, blackberry cobbler, Southern Illinois style.
Oh, you know,
I would love that.
It sounds,
I'd love to eat some.
What a pity.
Sounds delicious, Dennis.
What a pity that virtual food is not very interesting. I mean, super photographs, but you have to make some and do it up in little packets or something. But then it will cost more to send than. No, it's not. But it sounds marvelous.
I think we'll have to meet each other for a gastronomic gathering.
That's it.
That's a real one.
Oh, yes.
We must,
but you know,
paying for the plane tickets.
Yes, I know. Well, we must get sponsored.
Rodrigo.
Sponsor.
Why don't we
Rodrigo.
All start lottery?
Carlos' husband.
We'll all buy lottery tickets.
Sure.
Oh, no.
We'll to find sponsors.
No.
Whoever wins invites everyone in.
Lottery is a dirty word here at the moment. We are pestered, really pestered, by something like at least four telephone calls per day. Telling us that we have won €1 million and all we have to do
really?
Is we can't stop them. It's very new here, and it's horrible. You know, you just have to learn to.
Well, you know,
the phone.
I am Germany.
Bitter? A bitter.
They called us Switzerland as well.
Yes, I'm sure. You're not far away. and what is worse, they've degenerated, not developed. At first they used to phone in person, now they've got recordings, and the recordings are sort of connected with phone calls, presumably by a program, and you hear a recorded voice. It is absolutely awful. But anyway, don't let me get us away from this delicious topic of food. It's just because you mentioned that's not a way. Well, we have to get sponsorship, you know, then we can give a conference somewhere called, I don't know, Food and ESOL or something, or The Culture and Grammar of Food. I've got a marvellous, one of my favourite cookbooks. It tells you how to boil potatoes and you know, everything from the very beginning, and it's called The Grammar of Cookery. But Dennis mentioned, apart from his mouth-watering recipe, you mentioned a word that I've only heard in carols or something. I've realised I know the word, but I don't know what it means. And that is shortening. What's shortening?
Oh, shortening is fat. The easiest way for me to explain would be to give brand names, but
yeah,
I'm sure
yes.
that... you know, that wouldn't do anyone out of the U.S. any good.
No.
But it's not. Yeah, lard is
lard.
A shortening.
Yes, lard.
Butter is a shortening.
Yeah.
Margarine
yeah.
is a shortening. So on.
Well,
my mother also said you can only get a really good pie crust if you use lard.
Yes, my mom said that too. Absolutely said that.
But shortening is a much more poetic word, isn't it, than lard?
Yes.
And I
oh, yes. But have you heard that old American folk song, Shortening Bread?
Yes. Shortening.
Yes, that's what I've got
now
in mind.
Now
we're
going to have
we'll have
a music bridges going on.
Yes, we're going to have a sing-along, musical bridges or something. Dennis Phoenix mentioned culture. Of course, culture comes into a lot of the things we're talking about, and thinking of family meals and the importance of meals in families, I was thinking, well, it's two questions. One, in a family, who should open the wine? Two, who should cut the meat?
Oh, very interesting.
Wine is the man.
Men.
Yeah,
okay, we're not going to say it's men, right?
I tell you here,
but it usually is.
Yes.
Yeah, but in Rodrigo's house, for example, his father opens the bottle of wine, but his mom is the one to cut the meat.
Ah.
Yes, same thing in my house.
Yes. Very
same thing
yes.
here.
Yeah.
Except on formal holidays. Then the man carves the meat also. Uh-huh. I don't know why. It's always a big deal because men typically don't know how to carve and serve meat.
Yeah, but it's funny. If they are having barbecue, then it's Rodrigo's father. So it really depends on the kind of meat then is dinner.
Yeah.
So for example, if it is something that his mother cooked, she's the one that is going to carve it and, you know, uh-huh. cut it off. If it's like a barbecue, it's generally men, right, Erica?
Yes, right.
In Brazil, yes.
Very
and there is the proper way, and there is the proper way to cut the meat.
Oh yes,
I would say a barbecue in Brazil is really like a ritual. The whole thing is a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are some steps you should follow, and you know there is this whole thing about barbecuing in Brazil. So
you have to light the fire, and it's danger also, man.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of like that.
I suspect in British culture, at least, if anybody except the man cut the meat, you know, that would be a key point in a drama, a family drama, because it's kind of unthinkable. The men feel. I don't know if you've gathered. I'm not a very formal person, but
uh-huh.
I can feel in myself that if somebody else in our house decided to cut the meat, I would feel uncomfortable. I'd feel displaced, offended. Yeah.
Really?
Yes,
this
absolutely.
Is funny. Here in my house, I cut the meat. If Rodrigo is not around, I open the bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Well, in my house, there are no like rules. It depends on the situation.
No,
my husband always opens the wine, but I have to taste it. And we both cut the meat. Whoever cooked it cuts it. So,
I think these sort of differences are really interesting, not least because one is usually not aware of them. And if you have a lot to do with people from different cultures, they may do things that it seems as if they're disrespectful, and they're not disrespectful at all. You know. It's just the way they are used to doing things. I know with opening bottles of wine, I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't even know what wine was, but now I think and it does happen, we have people round and somebody thinking they're being helpful, it's always a man, opens the bottle of wine, and I really feel a bit put out and think, hey, just a moment, whose house is this, is what I'm thinking. I don't say it because I'm a coward, but...
Oh, probably, Venus, you would think like Brazilians are very disrespectful. because if you go, like, if we are your friend and we go to your house, then, you know, we will get up and we will stand up and do whatever we can to help you.
Yeah.
We will wash the dishes for you. We will grab things to help you out, you know.
Yeah. No, I think
it's really cultural.
If I'm
I think so.
Dennis.
Oh, go ahead.
If I'm
I was just never mind. Your turn. Go.
1, 2, 3. If I'm ever lucky to come to Brazil, I shall just think, in Brazil, expect everything, because they do everything differently.
Kind of, but there is one thing that I would say that, for example, here in America, I still have a hard time with that.
What?
When I invite you to my house, you know, to have a meal with my family and stuff, you are not supposed to bring anything, really. You can bring something like just, you know, as something, a souvenir, something like a bottle of wine or something.
Wine,
but yes, this would be the best thing. Or no food. Because in Brazil, if we invite to our house, it means that we are going to do everything for you. You know, you are our big guest, so you're not supposed to bring anything. So sometimes people feel, I feel here in the U.S., that my friends here, they feel uncomfortable with that. So when they come, they always try to bring me some things like wine or cookies or something, because they feel uncomfortable to come to my house without offering me anything. But I tell them, today we are going to do the Brazilian way, so just you don't need to bring anything, but it's really, really interesting. Because they feel like, the Americans feel that it's part of their culture. It's very common to have them, like, if there is a party, each one brings his own dish or his own dessert or something to drink. But in Brazil, well, it is common with the young people, but if we are inviting our friends, we provide everything. Only if we say otherwise, like, no, oh, just bring the beer, you know? So it really depends on the situation. But in general, if you go to our house, you shouldn't bring anything.
Well, in Switzerland, you always bring a gift. You bring a bottle of wine or chocolate or flowers traditionally. And then you can just enjoy it. And the people who have invited you, they don't want you to help them clean up, or it would be rude to accept your help to clean up afterwards among certain... well, the students are different. The younger people are different. They're quite open about that. But the older generation, you would be insulting them if you started cleaning up and helping out in the kitchen.
I think that's true in Germany as well, except the slight exception is it's all right to help people to carry things in and out of the kitchen. You know, if you're eating in another room, that's okay, but... I agree.
Yeah,
otherwise, and washing up, no, will be seen as an insult.
Just one question, now that we're talking about inviting people. In Portugal, it is more likely, it's quite similar to what happens in Brazil. If you're invited, you're not supposed to bring anything unless there's like a common agreement that you'll bring something and pitch in. The other thing is, because we usually tend to overreact with the amount of food that we cook for these kind of parties. And so what we do at the end, actually, we divide the desserts or things that you could eat on the other day, and we give the people. And this is a common thing.
It's
and
common in Brazil, too. I wonder why.
Yeah,
I won't say that it's because we were a Portuguese colony.
Yeah, it's common here.
Well, if
we take food home, we take beer home.
Yeah,
exactly. We share everything.
Yeah. But if it's like with really close friends, you do that. Not like
exactly.
If it's something more. But if it's with close friends, oh, you're going to grab... like a container and distribute things. Oh, no, take this home. Oh, take this to someone.
Yeah, and there's always like an argument, not an argument, but the kind of a, you know, the house host wants to give more than the other person wants to take. It's like kind of a tradition.
It's just like in Brazil. But I must confess that Rodrigo, my husband, hates this. It's like we are. It's funny because here it's a funny story. Even because when we got to the U.S., he had never been here before we moved. So when we got to the restaurant, and then people like the woman brought a container for him to put the leftovers, he was shocked. He said, "No way! Oh my God! What am I going to do with this?" I said, "You can put the leftover and take home." And then he said, "No way! I'm going to do that." Nowadays he does it, but he really doesn't like to leave a place with, boxes and containers with leftovers. It's not really part of his culture. It's funny. He was shocked when he got to the U.S.
Well, in Switzerland, you don't find any restaurants that do that. And I remember as a child, that was the best thing about my mother going out to have dinner. I knew she'd bring home a doggy bag. That's what they're called there, a doggy bag. And I knew that was going to be my breakfast the next morning. and I'd actually look for it and get angry if she didn't bring anything back.
Yeah.
And so in Switzerland you don't find that, but you all know that I was in Croatia just a couple weeks ago, and there we celebrated my husband's birthday with a traditional Croatian dinner. You can see some of the pictures on the wiki. It was wonderful, but it was so much food. And even though the host was Swiss, his wife is Croatian, even though he's Swiss, he said, oh, I'll give it all to you and you can eat it for dinner tomorrow. And it was great. We had a whole meal the next day, and we had a huge cake for his birthday, and we ate that for breakfast, I think, three or four mornings in a row.
Now that's interesting.
Hi guys, let me just interrupt you a bit, because I have to go, okay? I just wanted to say goodbye. I love to be here with you today, and hope we can chat some more soon.
Super. Thank you for being with
us.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
Have a nice weekend. Bye, dear.
She went with a funny noise made, I suppose, by my computer. I was just going to say something then. I've completely forgotten what it was. Can we retract something cultural?
Story.
Pardon?
I said, while you're waiting, I
can't. Yeah, carry on.
Okay, the second thing I mentioned in the email was an interesting custom my family had on December 24th. And I'll give you the short version. December 24th, Christmas Eve, is a big family event in the U.S. And lots of special foods that are served, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of times kids open their presents, but we didn't do that. And it wasn't for any religious reasons or anti-religious reasons. It was for family reasons. Why? Guess when my father's birthday was? December 24th. So all the time he was a kid and even a young man, December 24th was nothing really special for him, and he got just one present. And he never knew which it was, a birthday present or a Christmas present. So December 4th was Dad's dinner night for us. And we had special foods, but it was not connected with Christmas at all. Now, related to that, I mentioned earlier the Slavic people that I have such a fondness for. They also have a tradition for Christmas Eve, but it's a completely fasting meal. And when I was very involved in the church, I always wondered if this would get to be a big a conflict for me, because it was certainly not a fasting meal at the Dad's Day dinner, but it was a fasting meal with the Carpetho-Ukrainians. Never did happen, though, because when I was most highly involved with the Carpetho-Ukrainians, I was either in California or Texas or Oregon or now Arizona, but my dad was still back in Illinois. End of story.
Thank you
very
much.
Oh, it's really sweet.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really, really sweet.
I reckon that, I don't know how punctual we have to be, but according to my clock, we're 1 minute over. I just remember the cultural point that you reminded me of. I was horrified, Ilya. You've horrified me. You said you ate cake at breakfast. Is that something Europeans do?
No. But it's the child in not just our children, but my husband and myself. Instead of
child in you.
Yes. Instead of eating the cake after you've eaten and you feel full, why not start the day with a real sugar rush? And it was really sweet
Why not?
Well, but let me tell you that in Portugal, there are a lot of people that start the day with sugar. And I don't know if you've heard, but we have these traditional custard cups. They're called pastéis de nata. Mm-hmm. And most of the Portuguese people, amazingly as it may seem, don't take breakfast at home, and they go to the coffee shops, mm-hmm. and they ask for an espresso and a custard cup, and that's their uh-huh. their breakfast.
Yeah,
so
a lot like in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I think there you have panetti, you have sweets. Yeah. They have cookies for breakfast and tea. The children mm-hmm. do. And at the bars, you get they're called cornetti. They're croissants with cream or chocolate in them, and you drink a cappuccino or an espresso.
Well, as an Englishman, I can only say, well, what can you expect from all these Europeans and their funny habits? I must come clean. I had some cake, very simple cake this afternoon, which my wife told me is called in German Frühstückskuchen, breakfast
cake.
Oh, okay. But I ate it in the afternoon. I don't know. Tell me, is anybody going to switch us off, or have you all got things to do, or do you want to carry on, or shall we call it a day?
I don't know, this is so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm starting
yeah,
to get hungry.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Well, yes.
I just want to say something before we finish about related to food and family. First, when I was thinking about our topic, it's interesting because what we consider family is the first thing, because I have my family here in my house, like my kids and my husband. This is my family now. But, you know, I have like my mother's family and my father's family. So it is a totally different story and totally different culture, I would say. And I have a story because when I was a kid, my father is Sicilian. And my whole family is from my father's side is Sicilian. So I was raised with my father making, what is it called, granita in the morning. Coffee, granita, which is like I don't know how it's like a, no, it's not a smoothie, it's like he would just freeze the coffee,
mm-hmm.
and then we would like scrape it to get the yes, granita, yes, Dennis. It was wonderful. I really remember that. And this was one part of my food and family history, you know, my Sicilian side, and then, you know, lots of pasta, and my grandma cooking for all of us, my uncle, Tio Luigi, that I told some stories last time, and he's very present till today in my life. So it's really one part. The other part is my mom's family. And they are from the northeast of Brazil, and their culture totally different, mainly in terms of food. And when I was younger and I went to their house, it was funny because when I went to my grandma's house, they would get pasta and rice and beans and everything and mix it together. They would cut the pasta, and I thought this was really disgusting. And what happened was that they, and I was like, I had, of course, I didn't have a very pleasant face. And when my grandma would offer me to eat that, I said, oh, no, thanks. I just eat pasta, not mixed with anything. So my cousins would think that I was too stuck up, you know, because I didn't want to mix things. I didn't want to mix things. She thought she was like an Italian and things like that, you know. She thinks she's different and, you know, this kind of stuff. So it was a cultural shock for me because I could never do that. And like in my house, and it's like that even today, if we have like pasta, we have it by itself, and then we have like separate salad and separate meat and all that. So it's funny because it was a huge cultural shock, and my cousins would always think I was the conceited one, but it's not true. It's just a matter of the way I did it in my house. And my mom, although she was from the Northeast, she kept like my father's traditions very strongly in my house. So That's why. And Zio Luigi is always a story because when we go to his farm, he lives in a farm, so he's the one that will have his cow to milk it. He's gonna, you know, have rabbits he raises rabbits so that he can eat the rabbit, and he's the kind of person that he will have everything in his house and then he will cook for us. So it's a big ritual, and it's funny. And here now, I think that with my little kids, I'm trying to create this, you know, family identity in relation to food, like what things the kids like most, what I like most, and what my husband likes most. And then it's a new, I think, gastronomic identity for this family, you know. So it's interesting to notice that we don't have like one family. When we talk about family, we have different nucleus. That was my share.
It's true. Carla, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Now that you are in the States, do you miss some Brazilian foods that you wouldn't actually crave for when you were in Brazil?
Yes, I think one of the things that I miss the most here is pão de queijo. Do you know it?
Yes, oh, it's lovely.
Yes. It's like I'm craving for pão de queijo. Pão de queijo is called, here they call it cheese bread, but it's not a cheese bread,
it's
really. It's something really from Brazil. And it's funny because here in the U.S. also, in many places, they have like sweet stuff for breakfast and stuff. And sometimes I die for a pão de queijo in the morning. Yes, yes, Dennis, it's a pão de queijo. Yes, you wrote like the Spanish way, but yes, exactly. So this is something I miss. The other stuff, it's funny, Chris, because most of the things I can find here and I can cook, most of them. But I think like Rodrigo gets really homesick because he doesn't have exactly the same meat, the same kind of food. But he was really happy because his parents spent like 2 weeks here and his mom cooked for him, so he was happy. Yeah, yeah, but most of the things I can cook here, the Brazilian way, like rice and beans and, you know, our kind of food. But pão de queijo, it's something I miss. I can make it, I can bake it, but I'll send you some pictures. I took Daphne's
okay.
Crazy about pão de queijo, and I took some pictures for her some days ago. I made some, but it's kind of, it takes a while to make them, so I'm kind of lazy. And in Brazil you can buy a pão de queijo with cafezinho, a little espresso, in, you know, every street, so
yeah.
It's hard, but I'm okay.
Yeah, because I don't know, Dennis is also in Germany and Ilya is in Switzerland,
mm-hmm.
So they might, do you also miss the food from your hometown?
Well, the things that I miss the most are my mother's baking her pies, which are very much like Dennis Cobbler's, and in fact she also made blackberry pies and her apple pies. And I also miss the seafood, because I lived in Seattle before, and there you had fresh seafood.
Oh.
You had crab, you had salmon, and really fresh salmon, and you can get the things here, but you don't really find crab meat, and it's just not the same. You're a bit too far from the ocean.
Yeah, I think what I miss here in Germany is that there are, in this part of Germany, there are really no Indian restaurants. And in England, you know, if you think of a crossroads, on one corner there will be a pub, on the other corner there will be a Chinese restaurant, on the third corner there will be an Indian restaurant, and on the fourth corner a betting shop. So I miss the Indian food a lot here in Germany. So I cook it myself.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm.
I just asked this because one of the things, and you might even know Portuguese people in the countries that you are in, because we are everywhere, and we are one of the European countries that in the 60s went a lot to the States and to Germany and to France. And one of the things that my German teacher once told us, and really it's true, but it has to be seen from the eyes of someone that is not Portuguese, is that the Portuguese, when they come home for holidays and they then go back to the countries where they live, and which is not their home country, they always bring food, and that's how you know that's the Portuguese arriving back from vacation.
This is funny, Chris. You know why? Because I'm laughing here. Because you know what happened? My in-laws came, and they had one suitcase. And I'm not kidding. One suitcase, only with food. You know, I asked them to bring me candies from Brazil. In America, we have tons of candies, but nothing like one, specifically one that I love from Brazil. She brought, my mother-in-law brought me so many things, you can't even imagine.
It's crazy.
One suitcase of things. And you know what? We go very frequently to Miami, because there we have a Brazilian store. So there is the place we can really find the Brazilian stuff. And so every time I go there, we have our trunk full of Brazilian stuff that we bring to Key West. And there is one thing about drinks. In Brazil, we have a specific soda made in Brazil called Guaraná, and we love it.
It's so nice.
Yes, and we can't find Guaraná here in Key West, but in the Brazilian store in Miami, yes. So every time we go there, we need to buy Guaraná, and of course, the Brazilian beer, because it's different. There's a wide variety of beer here in the U.S., tons of them, but beer, our Brazilian beer, very cold beer, is something that my husband misses a lot.
You mentioned the magical word husband there. I've been thinking once or twice during this webcast, we ought to have a special program where husbands or wives could come in, the people who have been saying, my husband, my wife, and see if their version of life coincides with the one we've heard.
That's a great idea.
Well, in fact, today my sister was going to join us, and it was all set. She was going really to join us, but she forgot her mic at home, so she would be at work, and she couldn't find a mic to connect to us. But she told me, like, with our Christmas special, she will be around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mother also had to excuse herself. She wasn't sure if it was today or tomorrow, and today she couldn't make it, but I'm sure she'll listen to the podcast and enjoy herself.
Did she listen to the first one, Ilya?
Yes, but apparently she only got the first half hour, so I need to find the link again and send the rest to her.
Oh, okay. I can send it to you. It's because it's divided in two parts.
Right. Carla, I have another question for you, not about food. The podcast, this is being recorded on webcast, isn't it? Where do I find it?
It's going to go straight to a folder that you probably set up to get your MP3s, because... Are you recording with Audacity too?
Yes.
Okay, so you have the Audacity one. You want to know where, like, you have the backup.
Is that the one that's sent to the folder that I decide on?
Yes, where you want it to be.
Oh, okay.
So then it's going to be like by date.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll find it like a stream, and the date. I guess that's how it is set. Then, Dennis, are you able to, have you been able to stream?
Well, it's a good question. I thought I was, because people were hearing me, but as I'm listening to you with full attention, Jose is writing to me and wondering just what he's saying. It's good that we've been recording on Audacity, because he wonders if the streaming, if what was on Skype has been streamed, implying that it hasn't. And I've just written to him saying what should have been done that wasn't.
Let me ask you something. Who is streaming? You, Anelia, or Chris Anelia?
I was unable, Carla. You have to go through it with me again.
no problem.
And I just checked the listening guide, and Dennis, strangely enough, you seem to be the only person who is streaming. It says Dennis on air.
Yeah.
With one listener.
Yes.
So probably.
But on my encoder, it says I'm streaming, so I don't understand that.
Yeah, my encoder says...
Can I interrupt for just a second, please?
Yeah.
I already have. I'm sorry about that.
No.
I really have to leave, and I didn't want to leave without saying thanks to everyone and bye. This is, as usual, just a wonderful, wonderful gathering, and full of interesting information, and best of all, it's a gathering of folks who really like each other. So, yes, indeed. So I'll just say goodbye to everyone. Hugs, beijinhos, and
beijinhos,
all the rest.
Beijinhos.
And until the next time.
Dennis. Yes,
ciao.
It's been wonderful.
Great. Thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'm also... recording on my mind is going, it's why, on Audacity, and I've checked lots of times. I mean, it is recording right at the moment, but of course what I can't tell is what it's recording. But it's set on stereo mix, and I should be getting everything that I could hear myself, but only time will tell. It seems that you know, whatever is supposed to happen automatically back at the office, perhaps, I don't know if that has gone as it should have gone. And this statement of Jose is that it looks as if the people who were speaking on Skype have not been streamed. You know, that's advanced.
Just a sec. Dennis, I'm going to check now if you are streaming, okay? So keep going, and I'll check in a minute.
Hello, am I alone?
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see my voice, and I can see your voice.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that I'm picking everything up.
Yeah.
But what's strange is that it says that I am streaming.
Yeah.
But I don't see it in the listening room.
Yeah.
And I see Dennis on air, which would imply that you are, in fact, streaming.
Yeah. No, it didn't at the beginning. It didn't say that. If you remember, you wrote me saying, carry on talking. They can hear you. So
right.
There's
Ina, let me ask you something. Were you streaming Sandbox A or B?
A.
A? Because you remember, did you change the settings? Because generally you were in B, remember, with me? Every time,
right?
So did you
I was using the settings for A.
For A, okay.
And I was using the settings for B.
Let's see, but I can check. The server
Dennis, I'm glad to say that you were streaming.
Okay.
Yay!
I just checked and you're doing fine. You are on air really, and everything seems to be fine. I could hear you there.
Yeah.
So
could you hear others as well?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good. It was only Jose who didn't say no. He just wondered. But I suspect, well, we will see when we look at the recordings, but I suspect that some of these indicators, like on air, it didn't work at first, and it suddenly did, and could be a bit misleading. But there's everything to learn, isn't there, about
This is only the second time I've streamed, and the first time was alone with José. So it's absolutely a first time. So all sorts of things must have gone wrong, or could have gone wrong. But I'm praying that Audacity will have got it all.
This time you are doing fine. Yes, now I can see that Ilya is streaming again.
Now I'm streaming. I must have gotten kicked off at some point, so I guess it's important to check.
Yes, I think that's what happened. But I think everybody's doing fine. Chris, we are waiting for you and Dennis Oliver to graduate.
Yes, I need you to suggest me another microphone and help me go through the procedures, because I have this USB microphone.
The funky one?
We tried today and it's not working.
And I wasn't sure of the audio settings anymore, the ones on the computer. I failed.
Oh, I have them. I think, Chris, I need to send you. You know what I did? I wrote all my settings
in
one of my posts.
If you If you send that, could you send me a copy too?
Yes, I'll send it. I'll send it to the group. Okay, I have one of my posts in the blog was all about my settings, so that everybody could see that, and I could help others. So I'll try to get this settings, and I'll send it to you.
One thing I find that one has to watch is that in Simplecast, in the settings there, you know, they flip. They're all correct at the moment, but when I sign off and the next time I put it on, they will sometimes flip back to something else, and you've got to have them written down, otherwise you're lost.
Exactly, yeah, because I had everything okay before I went on vacation, and when I came back, I had to go to another. And when I came back, all the settings were different.
Yeah, I'm afraid it happens.
So what I do, Dennis, every time I am streaming, like half an hour before, I check everything again. And let me tell you that it has happened, like, funny things with me. So, for example, one day I was streaming for the Merlot conference, BDS conference, and I was streaming, everything was all right, and I had to speak. But I forgot to turn on the audio repeat.
That's funny. Are you still there? Hello?
It's crazy because there are so many variables that we need to be aware of that sometimes we just forget. So we need to be really attentive, and every time we should check. What I did, I took a screenshot from each of my settings, and I wrote down all of my settings.
Yeah, great idea.
I should do the same thing.
I take a look. Yes.
Because actually, it's quite easy when you have the settings. But the complex thing is that you have to think of so many things, and you have to check them. Like, I was bounced out of the streaming for some reason.
Probably you were kicked out.
Who kicked me out?
I don't know. Somebody wanting to kick your butt.
Yeah, I guess so. We've done
people.
That before, haven't we, Carla?
Yes, we love that.
Okay, so I'll check the settings with in your blog. Is this the exploration blog?
No, I think I don't know if I put there. I think I put like in the Webcast Academy. I'm trying to retrieve it now, and I'll send it to you guys.
Okay, okay. That'd be great.
Okay, because then you can have an idea. I also have a document with my screenshots and stuff. I'll send what I have for you, all of you.
Oh, you're wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh,
and I'll really, this time I really want to focus and do everything, because it has to be now.
Yes, Chris, and it's different, like today. Today I was very relaxed. I didn't have to do anything, just participate. It's one thing. Like, when you have to stream, Generally, I'm streaming and I'm talking to you guys and I am recording in Audacity. You have like at least four things you need to be taking care of. So this is the biggest challenge, like to put everything together
checking.
And working. Yes.
Yeah.
And still being attentive to what other people are saying.
Right. And so, the chat room.
Yes, yes. Oh, it's crazy. So this is the thing we really need to practice, you know?
Okay.
So we need to try to record with Audacity and being the host and everything.
But
okay,
I'm sure you'll manage.
Yes, everybody can manage. And we are waiting for you guys to graduate.
Okay.
Yes.
we're waiting.
These settings you're talking about, they are very straightforward as long as you've got somebody who can tell you which are the important ones and what the correct information is. Because I spent months not knowing the details that I needed until I met Jose. then it worked within a couple of hours.
Uh-huh. Jose's got the magical touch. He helped me too, and then I was able to do it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I think it depends on the sound. It's not that people are hiding information or anything.
No,
that it really depends on the kind of sound card.
Yeah.
For example, you know, and there are some tricky things too because it really depends on the sound card you have.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll check and let you know. Now, guys, I need to go because I need to finish some cooking here for a Halloween party I have tonight. I have to get dressed. I have to make a makeup.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'll send you the photos.
Okay, looking forward to it.
I just want to say, I think it's so wonderful to be able to come together because I know, Christina, you're really, really busy, and I know, Carla, that you are also really, really busy.
I am, really.
And I'm pretty busy. I have to leave tomorrow morning and go to a presentation all day. But
I think everybody is. But the fact that we really try, you know, to be at least this moment together, I think it really shows that we care for each other.
Yeah, it's so
and
wonderful.
It's really reassuring. You know, it's really.
It's great. It's this experience. Yes.
It's really
interesting.
I was
finishing something. Yeah.
Okay, shall I then?
Yes, I was finishing things here and I said, yes, okay. See you. I'll send you some photos and I'll send
you
the settings, okay?
Okay,
bye.
Have fun.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Dennis, don't forget to disconnect there in the Webcast Academy.
No,
it's something we always forget to.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Bye.
Bye. I think perhaps it. I don't know about busy or not, but I'm not making a presentation yet. I've not got to cook a barbecue, but I think I should go and see if I've still got a wife downstairs. So I'll say goodbye to you all.
Okay.
Thank you
also.
We'll be in touch. It was lovely.
Yes, we'll be in touch.
It was fabulous.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Enjoy the rest of the evening or morning or afternoon or whatever it is.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Goodbye.
Bye. How do I switch off? How do I switch off? That can go first.
Christina, are you still there?
No, I think she's gone.
Has Christina left as well?
I think she has, yes.
Okay, then I'll stop recording and I will also say goodbye as soon as I figure out how.
Yes, that's my problem too. But I'm just doing a quick screen shot of the settings. I thought that was a super idea.
Gosh, I really can't find where we are or where to hang up. We just have to keep talking.
Yes,
that's
all right.
Okay, I found it.
Yeah, but that will only switch you off, won't it?
No, it'll switch off our conversation.
Ah.
So, I wish you a good evening.
It was great.
And Dorian has already said he wants to come to visit you.
Oh, great. Okay. We must arrange it. Yes, okay.
So we will.
Okay.
Okay, goodbye, Dennis.
Bye.
Bye.